Welcome to the Awe and Wonder podcast. My name is Sarah Kinsella.
And I'm Brenda Del Monte.
In this series, we are talking about AAC and assistive technology, but we're relating it this time to cultural responsiveness. And we're joined today by Wolf and Tasha, and they are parents.
All right. So, thank you for having us. My name is Wolf Brown. I am a Akamet Altham tribal member from the Gila River Indian community. I am also half Dona Altham, which is desert people whose reservation lies near the border of Mexico and southern Arizona near Tucson.
And then my name is Tasha Antone. I'm from the Salt River Indian community, and we are near Mesa and Scottsdale, so we're on Ogmore. We had three kiddos. Harmony, she's an eight-year-old. She does have spinal muscular atrophy, and she's the one that we're here for. And then I just have two older ones, 13 and 15 now.
Okay. And do you guys live on the reservation?
Yeah, we do.
I know you because Harmony was two, which means I've known you for 6 years, which I didn't know that. Harmony was two when I met you.
She actually started school at 6 months, but she was misdiagnosed. And she was considered low tone, muscle tone. What is it called?
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, she was misdiagnosed, and it was basically low tone.
Okay.
Yeah. So we started therapy like at 6 months.
Did you not do any drugs for SMA?
Well, at the time, they didn't have any
drugs available.
Yeah. So when we found out Harmony's actual official diagnosis, we ended up in the hospital like at a year old. And we got diagnosis a few days before she went inpatient. But at that time, there was no available treatment. And we were just kind of given basically take her home. And usually they would pass before 2 years old.
Right.
So she was in school at the time, and we were both just trying to give her the experience she needed because we didn't know how long she was going to be here for.
Right.
What was the experience like when you found out? Like, were you given resources? And you said take her home and love her, but do you have like a support circle to help you during that? What was that like?
Well, at the time, we, like I said, she got misdiagnosed. It was pretty much, we started seeing signs like 4 months. And then when she got into school, actually, you know, the teachers really pushed like, hey, something's going on. Like, and you know, I'm so glad I had her in school because I just had the extra support to get referrals, because even me talking to like the PCP, like, they're like, oh, you know, it's just, she might just be a little slower, but you know, we both knew something was going on because she kind of stopped moving, stopped reaching for things. Her voice was really, it was hard to hear. Like, we'd be in the same room, we could barely hear her cry. But when we did officially get the diagnosis, they basically said she, you know, is a kind of terminal illness and that there was no treatment, but they kind of just gave us everything that we knew at the appointment. And me being the mom I am, I just went and just researched everything. And actually, we were in the hospital too for about a good month. So we were on the crash course of basically learning how to take care of her, because she went home with all the machines we have now. We couldn't feed her by mouth anymore. She had a vent. Everything was just new, so it was just really new, and I was just trying to get as much information, reaching out to whoever I could just to take the best care of her while we thought she was the short time she was going to be here. But you know, she's here, right. She's here, she's right now.
The fight odds for sure. Were you sent home with a nurse?
No, at the time, and plus we were living on the Gila River Reservation, and they couldn't get anybody really to come out and help either. So
do you find that that's the case, that it's hard to get resources out on the reservation?
I would say so,
yeah, especially like here in my community, we're so close to the city, Scottsdale and Mesa, is just basically just across the freeway.
Yeah,
but for him it is pretty far out. And actually I remember we couldn't find a speech pathologist and a PT, and it was really hard trying to get anybody to come and give her those services. So just because it was just so far out and people were driving
45 to an hour and a half sometimes
to
try to come out, and then it's just like, oh well, it's farther than I thought it was, you know.
You know, the best decision for us to move back to my hometown, just because we had just, you know, more availability to our resources that she needed to take better care of herself. And that's kind of when we met you, Brenda. So
yeah. Now, so you felt like, Wolf, that you guys were living in your tribal area, for lack of a better vocabulary, I'm not exactly sure what reservation is, that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
On your reservation, Wolf, and it was just too far out for services, so you guys ended up opting to go to Tasha's reservation, and because it was closer and the services were a little bit easier to get.
Yeah, and then not only that, but even my circle of my family, my mom lives an hour and a half away from where I'm at in Hingle River, and my dad and my stepmom still lived another 45 to 60 away from where we were at. Oh, yeah, our reservations really spread out, so there wasn't a lot of, like, even family support that we could get for,
I see.
Like I said, and then to top it off, we're going through the motions of what we just heard and what's going on.
Right.
And grasp with that stuff, you know?
And actually, us moving here, because we live right next door to my father, my parents.
Okay.
So that was like a big help of helping with the other kids, and just also like, because she
was at attention, basically.
Yeah, it was everything, and we were back and forth in the hospital a lot. So it was, yeah. So just being here in my community and my family, it just made like the world a difference, just in what she needed.
Yes,
she was at a school, but she was like 6 months, 1 year. When I met you, she was two. What was your school? What was that school that we met you at?
So actually the school you met us at was in my hometown, and it's was an early childhood center.
On the reservation?
Yeah, on the reservation.
That's what I recall as well.
Yeah, so, and it's really cool. I mean, I love it here because for our schooling system, we have like childcare, they got Head Start, and then right next door they have the elementary where Harmony's at right now.
Mm-hmm.
And right next door to that is like high school, so the kids stay right where they're at. And actually our community is really big on our culture, so they incorporate even when they're babies, teaching them the language.
Okay, so do you two speak the same language?
There's slight differences, but basically, yeah. So a long time ago, back in the day, there's the Anak Mor Atham, the Akamet Atham, the Thono Atham, the Akchin Atham, and the Hasid Atham. And Hasid Atham's in Mexico on the other side of the border.
Okay.
Thono Atham's right on this side, on the U.S. side of the border. Gila River's Akamet Atham is right almost in the middle, and then Salt River's more in the north. So that's Anak Mor Atham.
Oh.
At one time, they were all one tribe. And then when we were migrating people, they went up and down from the Gulf of Mexico all the way to northern borders of the states to California. And then one day they just decided, we're not going to migrate, we're going to stay here and call ourselves this. This other broke off and broke off and broke off, basically. So our language is similar, but it's a slight dialect, I guess you would call it, dialect in a sense, are different.
And is it oral only, or is there a written language to that?
They're slowly trying to write it right now. And I mean, there is some like our traditional Thono Atham language is documented, but it's very hard to speak because they spell it in such an older traditional way. Whereas I think that if it was worked out more phonetically, more people will kind of just learn it. But then even with that, it's always hard to nail it down because there's so many different dialects and everybody wants their dialect to be the right one and the one that's incorporated into what the language is. So there's a lot of back and forth between traditional speak and modern speak. So they really haven't nailed down a universal, this is our language, this is our tongue, this is how we're going to do it. It's kind of just, like I said, it's just oral right now. But there, like I said, there are some forms of written, but like I said, they're very hard to speak because like a TH will be a D sound.
Right.
That's really weird.
Because I remember us thinking that it was going to be really hard to incorporate native tongue in her device because there wasn't a way to spell things. So an option would be to record some things in there, but it was going to be challenging because it was not a robust written language.
But at the school she's at now, it's so close knit with all the kids at the different ages, and it sounds like a lot of really good support early on, like you were saying. So I think you said education is very valued. Because I was wondering, how did you even know at 6 months old that she could be in a school? You know, had they had any students with needs similar to Harmony?
Actually, what just going back to, because we lived in Gila River at the time, and it was a Head Start program, and they also had early Head Start, which they took babies basically, and they actually had a bus that had car seats in it, which is awesome. And they came and picked up the babies. And anyways, Harmony was basically the first of having as much needs. But at the time, I quit my job and I was just there to focus on Harmony and giving her the experience that was what was in my mind. So I went to school with her, did her medical, and I stayed with her. And yeah, but I'm just so happy I got her in there because the referrals, like I said, the teachers were so awesome. And even actually transitioning back to transferring her here, the teachers met with the Head Start over here and made that transition so easy. And they actually let her home teacher come and be with her for like a week. Just so they can
help the transition,
get the whole thing of Harmony,
get the routine, and everything
the
down.
Routine, what she learned, what she think would be best, what just everything. And she was two at that time, so we were really grateful. And then Harmony was the first with the needs at the school here and actually at the elementary. And actually at the elementary, they ended up getting a handicap bus because she was the first one.
They don't have a special ed classroom for Harmony, right? She's integrated completely.
Yeah, she's in the regular classes.
Yeah, and then I was going to say too, even at the Head Start, they made an inclusive playground just for her to be there. But it was so awesome because, you know, they even made it sensory and wheelchair accessible. So, and now they're planning on doing that at the elementary. So she's basically the little pioneer. We're making changes over here, so it's a little hard, you know, fighting for everything, but it's going to be worth it for everybody to come in the end. So
has it been a big fight, or are people pretty open to include?
It's, I guess, not, I'm gonna say, not really much of a fight. It's just getting everybody on board, you know what I mean? Like, hey, we need this now, you know.
Advocating all the
I think a lot of it is a lot of people don't think about it until, like, even though she's there, they don't think about it until somebody says, hey, and then everybody's like, oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You know? And it's that kind of consensus that will go around the room.
Yeah,
it's just like you said, being an advocate and voicing your opinion at that point in time.
And they also said, like, her being a Head Start, they did have others with needs, but they really didn't last long just because it was kind of a hard, like I said, advocating for what we needed, and just compared to another school where they had everything, you know what I mean?
Right.
Established. So, and I really just wanted to make sure, like, hey, I want her here because they do incorporate culture. It's our home school, you know, and I just want to make it better for the next person.
Right.
Yeah.
So speaking of incorporating culture, so what language do you use to speak to Harmony?
Primarily, we do English in our household, but we do the words. Like, we'll go out and about and just kind of point at things and say, "Oh, what's that?" You know, or beans or food. Especially food's probably the main one that we do with her.
Well, yeah, too, and plus, she knows also knows how to greet herself in our language too.
Introduce herself.
Yeah, greeting and introducing herself. So,
at school, are they teaching them the language too?
Yeah, like they start when they're babies back in the Head Start, early Head Start. They even have a culture class even right now. So yeah, it's really big here.
When I did the evaluation, we did meet at the school. I'm guessing you had us come to the school because your school was such a close-knit community. They knew her skills really well, and it made sense to incorporate the school with our evaluation. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, just because you know how your guys' meetings are, there's so many people involved.
Yeah.
So, and plus, like, it was, they had basically, you know, our house is pretty small too, but everybody wanted to be included in the meeting as well.
Yeah.
So, because they were all excited because they're like, this is our first kiddo, you know,
right,
needing all the extra resources, you know what I mean? Their learning experience.
Is there some earned distrust in letting people come to your home?
I would say so. Yeah, I would say yes in some aspects, especially if you're somebody you don't really know. You know, like your home is kind of a private area for you and your family. And
right.
Yeah, I think that anybody you don't know, you know, who's going to come in and, you know, evaluate and look around and you're not quite sure. I think there's always that distrust with people.
Right.
And that's just with anybody. It doesn't matter, you know, like just because you're Caucasian or anything else. I think that's just a distrust there normally.
It's not necessarily skin color, but it's just anybody that isn't kind of your core group maybe is.
Yes.
Isn't really part, isn't, it's not comfortable to have them in your home.
Yeah, because even with us, it's funny because like going back to when we were living in Gila River, I have nothing but cousins that literally are on my block all the way down. It's, this is like a third cousin, fourth cousin, fifth cousin, blah, blah,
yeah.
But none of us talk to each other. You know, it's like, nobody, you know, like, okay, you know, like, okay, I don't trust those guys sometimes. They're kind of, you know, or whatever it may be, you know.
All right. So the people that you trust is a pretty small circle.
Yeah. And like I said, I mean, if it's like, I'm sure that, I mean, after a few visits, you've met those people, earned their trust. And then it was more like, oh, hey, she's here. Come on in, you know, blah, 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 you know,
right.
Whatever. And like I said, it's just, it's just very, it's just a thing that has to be earned, I guess you could say.
Right. So is it, do you prefer then if someone is going to, because I remember even at the reevaluation and Melanie and I knew Harmony well, I think we did it at her school or I think it was at the community center.
Okay. I think we did the community center one time because of that, because we knew it's a lot of people. And honestly, like this house is very small and I can literally say that we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's only literally room for 5 people in the living room because we have these giant, humongous
and
couches.
Your family has 5 people. Yes.
And then also Harmony has her wheelchair.
All of her therapy stuff was out at the time, and they were just like, "Oh, we need a huge room where we're going to meet with people."
Yeah.
You know.
We met at the Wolf Recreation Center.
Okay, there we go. Are there things that the therapists have that you've experienced with Harmony that have made you feel more comfortable or uncomfortable, vice versa, as far as like a lot of people listening are therapists and wanting to know how to be responsive to your culture, but you know, we don't know better, and so we want to know better so we can do better. Are there things that you feel like were that made home visits or made that built trust more successful than others?
Because like for us, and I will put this out there, is that basically like with myself, even though I've lived on the reservation my whole life, mm-hmm. I have also worked in the city my whole life. Mm-hmm. So I've always been surrounded by non-natives, Caucasians, Blacks, Mexicans, Latinos, whatever it may be. So I'm pretty well versed in those circles. But I do understand that from that standpoint of how some people can be kind of closed off. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of it is when it comes to the therapist, for me personally, it's when somebody is very confident in what they do and they just have this ease and relax about them, tone about how they address you and how they address for us, it's more importantly that they get along with Harmony than they do with us.
Right.
When it comes down to it. But culturally, I don't think there's a whole lot. I mean, and we kind of talked about like most Native Americans, the whole eye contact is a huge thing that like non-natives don't know. Like we're not about eye contact. We're not about looking people in the eyes when we speak to them. And from when we were growing up, from being little, to us, it's a form of disrespect to look your elders or your parents in the eyes. And it's like, hey, that, you know. So sometimes if you're talking to, like I still have the habit sometimes when I'm talking to somebody, I know to look them in the eyes, but eventually you'll see my gaze kind of, just kind of start talking off to the wind and then I'll come back to them.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest one with any other Native American, different tribes, is just the eye contact. I think it's like you said, just a sign of disrespect. We're also shy people. I guess.
Yeah, we're saying shy people, kind of soft spoken, and to raise your voice is like, oh, it's usually only something you do out of anger.
Mm-hmm.
So like with me, I don't like, even to me with this day, I don't like loud people just in general. Like when somebody comes in the room, hey guys, I'm like, oh god, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But, like, those are kind of off-putting.
Yeah, very off-putting because of that instance.
Yeah, I think those are probably just the two biggest thing is the eye contact and just that we're pretty shy to ourselves people until we get to know you. You know what I mean? And now, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I remember learning about in school about retelling stories and telling stories. That's something that we do a lot as SLPs. You know, listen to the story and retell it. And I remember someone talking about one Native American culture where that wasn't something that they did in their culture, that certain people could retell stories.
I would say just with like our traditional stories, like only certain people in some tribes can tell those stories. And they can hang on to them and then pass them on, like we do like the storytelling once a year, maybe it is.
Yeah, like we have like our Autumn New Year and they get together, do dances, storytelling, and
more traditional type stuff. But yeah, but like I said, the keepers of those stories in some of the tribes are literally the keepers of those stories.
And I think sometimes they're even told at only certain times of the year as well. So.
The shy piece is interesting because I was part in Washington. I was part of a grant for preschool Native Americans, and because they were being over-identified as having a language disorder because their vocabulary they felt was limited and there's the length of their sentences were shorter. And there was lots of these little pieces that we look at. And instead of labeling them speech and language disordered, we just went ahead and served them, kind of like your community is doing now with these early intervention stuff. We just went ahead and served them without labeling. And I think it was something crazy, like 90% did not qualify for any speech and language services by the time they turned 5 and were going into kindergarten, because what we realized was that we were measuring Native American children on a standardized test that was not normed on your population. So they didn't have Native American children as part of the standardized testing. And so they were, quote, failing our test, but it was due to the norms that we have. I remember this one boy didn't say very much. And then the mom came in and we had a meeting and she didn't say any more things than he did. And she wasn't, there was no disability, right? We realized, wow, how much of this, of this language is cultural, and is there, and possibly no disability at all, and not wanting to overdiagnose someone of Native culture that they were that they had lacked in their language skills because they weren't outgoing, basically, you know. So I don't know if you've seen that in the community, or because everyone in your school is Native, there's an understanding about what is your normative data.
I think it would be the second one of what you said. If it's a school of all Natives, like we all kind of accept that's how we are.
Yeah.
And it's always going to be kind of like an outsider's perspective of where we should be.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. like even with my own kids, with my two older ones, I think the last 2 years I've kind of started taking them out on social stuff. Like, but before that, you could ask them, how was your day? It's okay. You know, just mm-hmm. one word answers for everything you get. And then right now, like I started taking them to the store when I go shopping, like, hey, you pay for this. You interact with the lady, you know, you tell her, thank you. Have a great day, blah, 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 blah. You know, just kind of socializing them a little bit more. And I think that's a lot of that could be honestly another piece to it as well, is that we're not socialized with non-natives enough that when outsiders come in, it's like, oh, well, that's like going to the principal's office, regardless of who it is. I'm not going to say nothing.
Right. Right.
Right. Interesting.
I was going to say too, my two older ones been up until, what do you call it? Sixth grade. They were in Native. They were in school in our home Native town. And actually their first time going to in-city school, it was kind of like a whole new thing because they'd never been to school with different other races. So they were very shy going in, and they were having a little bit of trouble with their grades. But once they got used to everything and being around different people, like their grades start going up. And actually right now they're very social. My two older kids are like in a youth council. So they're participating in a lot of volunteer work, and yeah, it's totally different. So I think mainly what it is that they're just not used to other races and being around different people. So
mm-hmm. Does the school at your reservation stop at sixth grade?
Well, right now they have sixth grade, and then they also have like a alternative school. So, but they wanted to try, I wanted to put them back in the school that I went to, and because I never went to school and on my reservation, it was always in the city. So for me right now, I am trying to learn the language, more of the language, but my kids know more than me because they language was like one, just it was a part of their education.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's pros and cons to that level, that integration, isn't there?
Yeah,
because he went to school.
I went to school on the reservation until I was in eighth grade, and then I didn't go to public school until I was in high school.
Yeah. So, and then for me, I was always just in the city. I mean, I lived on the reservation, but I went to the city school. So
remind me, Harmony, she reads and writes.
Yeah, she reads. She's
pretty much at grade level, is she not?
Yeah, and I think she's a little bit above. She's
for her last report card, yeah, she's just slightly above average for her reading, and then her math, and we're like, okay.
Yeah, no, she loves reading, and she loves learning.
Yeah.
That's
so when the minute like her device, I don't know if it died or stopped holding a charge or something, it was pretty critical that got you a loaner till we could get you a new one, because that was a huge part of how she was demonstrating knowledge.
Yeah, basically because we started with the Nova Chat 10, and that actually lasted us because we met you like around 2 and she got it close to 3. And it barely died just not long ago. So it stayed with us for that long. And I think it was just an update that it just didn't want to.
Yeah, no, it's literally the longest lasting Nova chat on the planet. And it wasn't broken. It was the technology got too old to update. And so then it wouldn't work properly. Right. So then we switched you to touch chat, which on the iPad, because she didn't really need the access features from Nova chat. But yeah. But she is so, I mean, she started with 60 buttons at 2 years old. So
I was just telling Dad that I said, I remember meeting you guys and you guys were so like, what? She can do 60? Where, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was a big deal. And you guys are just blown away about just what she was capable of with her diagnosis.
Up until the time we met Harmony, every person we met with SMA was eye gaze only. They did not have functional use of their hands. Mm-hmm. And so there was a...
And so Harmony is using her fingers? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what does writing look like for her? Does she do all of her writing on the device? Does she do it on a keyboard? Does she do a little bit of both?
She does a little bit of both, I would say.
Yeah, because right now they don't want her to burn out. So, the thing is really hard with Harmony because she wants to do everything. She will
push herself
till she's like fatigued. But we are working on that because, but basically she can handwrite. And they also use the iPad. They scan a lot of documents, and she uses that, or also her aide also can help scribe for her too. So it's everything right now.
Yeah, then she'll scan her homework with her
iPad.
Yeah, with her iPad. They have an iPad for her at school that she uses too. So she'll scan her homework there, and then sometimes she'll type in the words.
The school is doing awesome. They're just supporting her so well. So I'm just so grateful for the school.
Sounds
like great support, and she has a lot of skills.
Yeah, and she was one of those living proof things too, because we had always been told that people with SMA had typical cognition, and but when their physical bodies were impaired, their trach, their vent, their eye gaze, those students were not receiving typical instruction because there was an assumption around the physical disability that reflected poorly on her cognition. But Harmony was so physically capable and was able to do direct select. And I when we were talking to the team about, hey, this is, you know, the diagnosis is that there's no cognitive delay. She should be able to learn to read and write and do everything everyone else can, like her. She does not have trouble learning. Mm-hmm. And it was so great to see that in action, because it's easier to see that with her physical abilities, meaning, she, you know, because she can point to things, and she does a joystick for her wheelchair, right?
Yeah, joystick.
And when, I mean, how young was she when she got that?
Well, see, that's the thing is, when you guys came, everything started falling into place, which I'm so grateful meeting you guys, because it started with the AAC device, and then Melanie's like, hey, you need a wheelchair, because we have the kid cart. We met you, Brenda, when Melanie was there. She was telling us, like, hey, Harmony's smart enough. She can, you know, drive a wheelchair, and then we started taking classes. She didn't need very many because she passed that test no problem. And
it sounds like she wants to do things herself, so she was going to make it work.
Yeah. So, and then also during that time when we're taking classes, driving classes for the wheelchair.
The wheelchair training classes that Melanie does before you take a test. Yeah.
Yeah, I met another family that had a son with SMA, and I kind of posted online that, hey, you know, Harmony's having driving lessons. And she's like, hey, we just barely got a new wheelchair. She's like, we're going to give it to you guys, and so you guys can use it to, you know, get her around. And then once Harmony finally got her wheelchair, then we gave, you know, that wheelchair to Melanie. For you guys,
give it. We recycle. Yes, we do. Did you guys have to get a wheelchair van, or do you have a lift, or how did you solve that problem?
Oh, in the beginning, Because I had an SUV, so we kind of had it on the back of our
we bought, yeah, the bought hitch. A little trailer, the trailer hitch thing, yeah, and
yeah,
we're pulling around, but then that got kind of sketchy after a while,
yeah, because you know the wheelchairs are so much money, so power wheelchair. But then we ended up getting a very old van, power wheel for wheelchair accessible.
Well, it was a two oh it was 1999 and we got it in like 2018, something like
okay.
that.
Yeah, an older one, but hey, it works, right?
Yeah, it was an older Dodge Caravan, yeah, and it worked pretty well. Yeah, and it had the lift on the inside, which kind of cramped into the room and the space of where she needs to park at, but it was a giant thing that like a giant drawbridge that came down.
Right. Yes. Yeah, giant, that's how they used down. To do it. Yeah.
That finally died, and we actually got a new van last year. Because we were fundraising, and I didn't know if you knew that. So
I did not know that. That's amazing.
Yeah, and then actually, we raised like 30,000, and then
wow. Did your community help you do that?
No, not the raising of the money, but after we hit 30,000, I reached out to my community just for help, and they helped pay the rest of it off. So we are fortunate to get a brand new van for her because we really needed it. It was so much work trying to
load her up. On the other one, on the old Dodge, head gaskets finally went out. So
for sure, something. Yeah, yeah.
It was time.
I just learned today that Harmony is in Girl Scouts. Is that a group that's on the reservation?
So actually we have our own troop on the reservation, and okay. I really learned because we barely joined that they've been having Girl Scout troop for the last 40 years here in our reservation.
Oh.
So okay. I had no clue, but I'm like, wow, that's cool. They reached out to me because Harmony's evolved in a lot of adaptive recreation. My tribe is come so far, they have made their own program for adaptive recreation where they just solely focus on the kids with special needs and trying to make it so inclusive for them. They actually reached out to me and like, hey, can you put Harmony in Girl Scouts because we want to be more inclusive? Mm. And so they're like, hey, do you think you can? We know you're busy. But if we would just welcome Harmony and try to, you know, adapt anything and make it more inclusive. So yeah, they reached out to us, and that's what we're doing now. So
what does she think about it?
Oh, she loves it. She used to be an after school program, but her and her therapies, she has so much like, this is works great because it's after work for me, after school, after all her therapies. So she meets with the kids, and now we're just like I said, now it's cookie season. So
For the most part, do they just sell cookies within your on the reservation, or will they go out?
I believe they said they'll go out too. So
okay.
It's just our tribe. I mean, our troop is on our reservation. So
yeah,
they do a lot of stuff with everybody outside as well.
So right. Is she programming messages into her AAC system around that, or?
Yeah, she actually had a speech therapy yesterday, and Kate went and helped program a lot of the messages.
Yeah, a lot prompts. Of the verbiage and a lot of the prompts that are going to get Harmony to the next page. And she ended up creating a whole Girl Scout folder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Girl Scouts. Cookies.
Yeah, so she put on here. Let's see, I don't know if you guys can hear it, but
yeah, they can.
My name is Harmony.
Said hi. My name's Harmony.
I'm a Girl Scout.
Yeah,
I'm a Girl Scout.
What kind would you like?
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Would you like to buy some cookies?
There we go. The sequence of what she might do.
Well, yeah, I kind of like that she started with what kind. That's presuming, you know, hey, you're buying from
And Kate helped us actually put the cookies on there, and then she put like This box is $5. This box is $6. Yeah. So we're really excited to, you know, get her out there. Yeah. Harmony's very outgoing.
What other adaptive opportunities has Harmony had on the reservation?
Mainly.
I mean, there. Yeah, like you said, like she brought up the Super Kids Club.
Yeah, the Super Kids Club is nothing but special needs, and that's from, she actually joined that when she was a baby, like 1 year old. But it's all the way up till 22 years of age. So they have, I mean, they do everything adaptive. We go outside, we go to the movies, we go bowling,
You guys went fishing that 1 year.
Oh yeah, we went fishing and I forgot about that. So we went up north and I can't remember the event, but we were all on boats. She got to drive a boat. She got her wheelchair on the boat. She got to drive it. And we went fishing. So that was really cool. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And wow. Yeah. And I think they're talking about inviting her up north when the wintertime again, because they have adaptive winter sports. The adaptive recreation is also having like International Day of Acceptance. They're having a big walk and then they're inviting all these different inclusive recreation people, just so the people in our community just know what type of other,
what's out there.
Yeah, what other things are out there.
Is there anything else, therapists either in the school or home-based or even in the hospital when you guys are there, that you wish they knew, or that you if you could tell them one thing that you feel like that maybe would help build relationships?
I think just be genuine. I mean, like I was telling them before, I was like, I think the most success I've seen with Harmony whenever we encounter any type of new therapist, it's usually the person that's, just really into her and about her, and not some, oh, this is my job type of person. Nope, I got this next client. I have another patient after trip. You know, like you can tell when somebody's tired, and we all have long days. And I get like that. I work service industry and I didn't want to deal with people for a lot of times. Like, oh crap, here comes another table of people, you know?
Yeah.
But you can sense that from some therapists once in a while.
Right.
I mean, like I said, we all have our bad days, but I think that's the most thing that I see with Harmony, when somebody's actually as excited to see her as she is to see them, because Harmony does love her therapies.
Yeah, she does.
And I think like we brought up Kate, like Kate and lights up, and even the who was a sub for Kate when she was out for a minute.
Oh yeah,
Kaylee.
There you go. Kaylee was amazing with Harmony. Like even though it was all over Wi-Fi, it was the telemeetings.
Yeah.
She was still there, and she was still with her and interacting, and she seemed very, like I said, genuine over the phone. She's genuinely nice, genuinely everything.
Got to know Harmony, know what she likes, and you know, they're making so much progress. So
getting to know Harmony, it is not hard, by the way. And and then letting Harmony then guide the sessions, right? So Harmony's excited about Girl Scouts. So you know, Kate's not walking in with, well, I had this plan today, so we're going to do what I have planned. She's coming in going, what's exciting? What's new? And then let's run with it. So letting, you know, yes, being genuine, being authentic, and then letting Harmony kind of guide, this is what I want to learn about this, because that's when Harmony is going to be most successful, is when she's motivated.
Oh yeah.
Yep. That's definitely, that's like, so that's a huge part of it, I think.
When you guys get a new client or whatnot, but just diagnosis and everything, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, Harmony is labeled, has a lot of things different labeled on her, but, you know, she defies so many odds.
Don't assume that because the paperwork says this, that you know what that's going to look like.
Yeah. And I have heard that too, like, just even at being in the school, like, oh, like kind of them like shying off or not wanting to push her as much, you know what I mean? Because it is what's labeled. And I'm like, no, she can do a lot more. Like, you know, and then she will actually play along with like, oh, I don't want to do so much. You know what I mean?
Presuming that the potential and the competency of her so that you don't lowball her for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And having those high expectations. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
We spoke with an adult AAC user who said in school at one point, there just wasn't that expectation. And so she just kind of let it go because why would I do extra work, you know, if they're not pushing me? And how she wished, you know, that they would have pushed and had those expectations. So it's great that you can advocate for her too and talk to the team about, actually, she can do this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They have known Harmony so long, especially with, you know, the special needs team over there. They've known her since she was a baby. So everybody knows, like, she can do so much more. It's like, oh, no, come on, Harmony. You can do this. Like, yeah. So I'm just grateful that all the people we encounter, the therapists, the teachers have always pushed her. And then we recently just had, like, a parent-teacher conference and, like I said, they don't have Harmonies integrated with everybody, but even her teachers, all of her teachers that she had, this is the first time working with someone with such needs as Harmony. And every time we have met with them during like parent-teacher conference, they're like, she can do so much more. And they're so excited because they're like thinking of different ways of how to do different things. So everybody's so on board and excited just to learn because they're all learning from her as well too. Us, mm-hmm. her, yeah. And they're really good at communicating with all of us and they're open to all the input as well too.
Yeah. That's great. It sounds like your community has really rallied and I'm so happy about that. So I think that was really helpful to hear some of those pieces because I think we, like I said, we've sometimes over-identified children with native backgrounds as being language delayed. And it's really more of that's the expectation for their age and their behavior around authority or elders. It's appropriate them being a little bit quiet and using less verbal language at a young age.
Mm-hmm. It's a difference, not a disorder or disability.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure like those same kids, when they're at home, they're talking up a storm and it's just when they're out in the world, so to speak. Yeah.
Well, and actually too, one of my younger brothers, like I said, we went to school in the city. He would not talk at all. Oh. They really were going to put him in, you know, special education because they're like, I don't know what's going on. Like he is doing the work, but he just won't talk. But he, as soon as he got home, he's chatting up a storm and my parents and we had to like, you need to talk in class because they're going to put you in another, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, you are very smart. He's really smart, but he just didn't talk with the teachers, hardly talk with any of the kids. So not being around our same race and stuff like that until he got finally comfortable enough that he was able to start slowly talking.
Right.
But, well, and a good example of the teachers in the school, making sure you're talking with family to say, what is this like at home? You know, is this what you see at home? Because that story wouldn't be the same as at home in school, right?
Oh, yeah. And then, like, even my brother right now, he's still very shy and, like, very minimal on just talking.
Yeah.
Right. That's just his personality.
We were just going to say that, like, all the – you're asking what we prefer, like, in person or stuff like that. But actually, we have done all of them, like telehealth, in person, in home, and we do prefer in person.
Yeah,
in person therapy.
Yeah, so you prefer in person, and you are kind of fine with wherever that is, as long as trust has been built.
Yes.
That makes Perfect sense. By the way, I'm not sure any of us should be letting anyone in our homes if we have an established trust, right? So that seems very reasonable and good to know. And, you know, I think the telehealth was not a good fit for most of our kids, but we were all forced to try that, right? We were all forced to give that a try, and we realized there some things can work that way. But the in-person creates that genuine peace that you're talking about, Wolf, and it creates that trust, and it creates that that, you know, human connection that's a little bit easier.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure.
Well, Asha and Wolf, thank you so much for joining us.
We are so thrilled to have had a conversation with you guys. And I know that, you know, it's at the end of a long day, but thank you so much for taking the time to explain a little bit more about your culture to us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely.